T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We began the day, and we'll continue to talk about, you know, the whole Robert Kraft situation. And remember now, the court date is a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
The arraignment date. And despite what you may have read in some of the New York newspapers, he does not have to appear.
Right. There was conflicting reports that one day, but no, this is just his lawyers.
One or
lawyers.
More of his lawyers can appear on his behalf. He does not have to be in the courtroom.
The whole squad will be there, I bet.
And my guess is he's probably not going to be in the courtroom to have that TMZ footage.
Right, I'd be surprised if he was.
Splashed everywhere. But that's scheduled for a week from tomorrow. What we saw yesterday out of Palm Beach County was likely the first offer. The beginning of the negotiations, which Michael McCann and TJ Quinn seem to think are ongoing between the Robert Kraft camp and his trio of lawyers and the folks down in Palm Beach County. One brief comment, if we can, about the Bruins win last night.
Oh, we sure can.
That is probably the most complete 60-minute performance we've seen from this team all year long. They're still missing some guys. They've gotten two of their forwards back, Jake DeBrusque on Saturday, David Pastrnak last night. Marcus Johansson is not yet back. Torrey Krug and Matt Grzelcyk and Kevin Miller are not yet back. But you're closing in on a more normal roster. And
yeah, the return of Pastrnak was huge.
And just that, by the way, is a really good team they beat last night.
And they smoked them. The Islanders had 13 shots in the game.
Had two in the first period. Outshot 14-2. So imagine this is what you do for a living. I mean, I know what you do is, you know, curing cancer and everything here.
Well,
but
Dale, please.
By the way, I'm sitting right beside
you. How dare you?
So imagine this is what you do for a living. You're sitting in the Islanders dressing room. Your team has just been outshot 14-2 in the first period. You're trailing 1-0. And your name is Matt Martin, and you're thinking, I got to turn this thing around. I got to go out and challenge Zdeno Chara
to a
fight.
You go out there, you find the biggest guy, and you kick his ass.
This is much like you did here, your very first day here.
Yeah, but I kicked his ass. Martin did not.
Chara almost sounded dejected post-game about it. I mean,
yeah, we kind of did. He was like,
he was saying, you know, how much respect he has for Matt Martin.
Oh my God.
You know, how he hits like a truck. He plays the game the right way. It's obvious Martin said to him, I'd like to fight you now, sir.
But he didn't.
And then Zdeno said, oh, all right.
Because Martin's a tough dude. Martin's won a lot of fights.
He's 220 pounds.
He's a beast. He's won a lot of fights. He's a really tough guy. He's no stranger to fights. But, God, do you think it'd be fair and if you allowed two guys to fight Char at once?
Like, more like fair.
Martin and like a teammate, like they could both kind of square off with him just so it's not as one sided.
While the fight was going on, Jake DeBrusque's dad, Louis DeBrusque, who was a well known fighter in the National Hockey
League. Oh, yeah.
A very tough man, big man, thick, strong.
Goon? Question mark?
I hate that term.
Okay.
But he's texting Jaffe while the fight's going on. And he said, this is bringing back, you know, chills for me because I remember when I fought him, I couldn't hit him. Like, he gets you out at arm's length. He said, I literally could not hit him. I couldn't reach him to hit him. And he can hit me a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He can just rain shots at you. And then he's got to be one of the, probably not the only guy because it is really, it's pretty classy when these guys do fight, but he checks on guys afterwards. Like, he's like, are you okay? Or even during the fight.
Well, during the fight, he hits Martin with one shot right on the chin.
Yeah.
And Martin goes down. And you see Chara bend over him. And what he's saying is, are you okay? And then Martin pops back up and
he threw a bunch of punches.
Okay, fine.
I mean, none of them landed.
All right, let's try again.
But it almost like it kind of re-energized Martin for a second. Or maybe he was kind of on, he got knocked out and he sort of pops up and he just starts throwing punches like crazy. None of them really land. And then Chara goes on to win. But yeah, that is
a tough way to make a living, man.
You don't see it a ton, but it's been a couple of times now in the last month, right? Was it Evander Kane who took Chara down? Or, I mean, he pushed him down. He was kind of off balance, and he
from
popped
behind.
Right back up. Yeah. I mean, that was a cheap little play, but he got right back up, then he got into another fight. But usually, they're kind of few and far between just because the other guy knows what it's going to be like. Like, oh, I'll fight somebody else. I'll go fight anybody else on the Bruins, but not Zdeno Chara.
As you wake up this morning, the Tampa Bay Lightning are obviously far and away. They've already clinched the President's Trophy for best record in the National Hockey League. But the Bruins and Calgary Flames are tied for second. They've got 97 points apiece. There are 9 games remaining. Any year where you've got 97 points with 9 games left, you're saying, man, that's a hell of a year
pretty
you got
serious.
Going.
Yeah.
And then you look up and see Tampa Bay out there.
They got a buck 16.
19 points ahead of you.
Buck 16.
19 points ahead. And
but also,
you can do.
The Maple Leafs lost was it last night. So
again,
it is a 6-point lead for second place. And not that it's insurmountable, but you got to feel pretty good about them having home ice in that first round,
yeah,
which is
it
huge.
It is like a 100% chance that the Bruins play the Leafs in the first round of the playoffs. That's mm-hmm. done. That's decided. You're playing for home ice. And that's sort of becoming decided here quickly. It's like I was reading, and just to take this to the other sport, I was reading about the Celtics, and I was reading that it appears now that the chances of a Celtics-Pacers first-round playoff matchup is now up to 84.3.
Especially if the Celtics don't win tonight, because Philly's in third place. It's a 3-game difference. So if the Celtics lose tonight, it's a 4-game difference with, I think, what will be like 9 games to play. So they're running out of time to jump up to that third seed.
Yeah.
And so, but they still have a chance at home court in the first round, you know, similar to the Bruins situation.
It's getting worse and worse.
Yeah,
if they lose in Philly, it's almost not going to happen.
Well, no. They won't catch Philly, but they could catch Indiana.
Even home ice. Home court, I should say.
No, they could. Right now, they're tied with Indiana in the loss column.
Yeah.
So I think they still have a chance there. But yeah, that would be the first round opponent. If you get the third seed, you get to play Detroit or Brooklyn in the first round, which is so much different than Indiana. But then you get into the second round matchups, and I think you can make a case that Toronto would actually be more difficult than Milwaukee. So either way, it's going to be a tough road for the Celtics, and hopefully they can get to at least the 4 seed.
So at one point, the Bruins were up 3-0 on goals by Corrali, Achari, and Corrali. And then in the third period, you got goals from Bergeron and DeBrusque. But for a while, you're going, you are kicking the Islanders behinds.
Yeah.
And your big guns hadn't done anything at that point.
No, those guys and those guys have been solid all year. We're talking about Achari. You know, those guys have been pretty solid. I was hopeful, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but I want Pastrnak not on that top line.
I like him there.
Even he was there last year, and the Tampa Bay Lightning shut him down.
Yeah,
I'm worried about Tampa Bay. I'm not worried about Toronto.
No, and that's fair. But the difference is, last year, you didn't have Krejci at this level and DeBrusque. They're together on the second line.
Yeah, and they're better.
You've got a legitimate second line, even with those guys.
But I think could you put Pastrnak with DeBrusque and Krejci?
Sure you could.
You know, and I just think you have Bergeron and Marchand enough.
And your top line is weakened because you'll have Heinen there instead of Pastrnak.
It's weakened, but your second line now is even more legitimate.
What I think your second line is going to be, though, when everybody's healthy, it's going to be DeBrusque, Krejci, and Johansson.
And then that's
you'll
why I think...
Coyle down to the third line center.
I think you strengthen it by putting Coyle with Johansson and pick a guy on the third line, and then you have that fourth line that had been playing like the third line anyway. So that's what I would like to see, but the fact that this game they automatically go back to Pastrnak on the first line, it does appear like that's what we're going to see in the playoffs.
I do think that this Bruins... Now, Tampa's really, really good. Don't misunderstand my point. Bruins actually play Tampa Bay pretty well. Really well. And they'll get them again on Monday in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bruins are dramatically better able to face Tampa Bay this year with the way their roster is than what they were last year.
Yeah, because last year was just such a letdown. You win that first game, you're like, hey, wait a minute, got something here.
Yeah.
And then just blown off the ice 4 straight games. So, yeah, hopefully things are different. I mean, I think, you know, before they get there, though, the good news is home ice against Toronto, and they match up great against Toronto. And the fact that Maple Leafs and a lot of those guys on their team would have to maybe even potentially, if it gets that far, play Game 7 at the Garden. They're not going to want to do that.
You know who doesn't want to play the Bruins in the playoffs ever? The Islanders.
Islanders either, yeah.
Tuukka Rask is 3-0-0 with a 0.65 goals against average against the Islanders this year. And again, I'll repeat, they're really good.
Yeah.
They were in first place going into last night in the Atlantic Division.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked like they didn't even belong on the same ice.
No, they got absolutely smoked.
There's a curious thing going on. NHL.com put this out yesterday. They put out one of these stories about, you know, who are the candidates for coach of the year in the NHL? And they listed 5 guys, none of whom were named Bruce Cassidy.
Really?
And yet NHL.com yesterday had a story on their website in which they talked about the best coaching jobs in the NHL this year, and they had Bruce Cassidy as having the second best coaching job in the league this year.
Yeah, I would assume he's going to get votes, or they do the finalist thing.
He'll be one of the three
finalists. So I would think he'd be up there.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you, at the beginning of the year, I think everybody looked at them as a playoff team, and they were a year ago. And he said, they're certainly going to be a playoff team, but I don't think you thought they were going to have the second most points in all of hockey. I don't think anybody thought
when
that.
When you look at who they've been missing this year and for how long they've been missing them, I mean, David Pastrnak just missed 16 games. They went 12-3-1.
Yeah, exactly.
In the 16 games. And by the way, after missing 16 games, he came back and is still tied for the team leading goals.
Right. But they
that
did
was have, missing.
Yeah, no, but they had a bunch of guys step up for him, too. And then even one of the guys that did step up, Jake DeBrusque, then he misses some games, and yet they were still able to score the whole time. But yeah, I mean, the question is going to be, and it's funny because it's going to be a similar road to last year in the playoffs, and just how do they stack up this year compared to last year?
Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hold on 1 second.
Okay, we'll wait. Just hang out here. What do you guys want to talk about?
I just wanted to take you off speaker. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Thanks.
Okay, I know no team is perfect or flawless, but last night was probably the closest thing to perfect and flawless you would see from any NHL team.
For a game, it was. For a game,
they were dominant.
It was almost the perfect game.
That was great. And I think this year, guys, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. You know I'm not a big Tuca guy, but this could be the year of the Rask.
You think so? What makes you say that? What makes you say that? Well, just riding high?
The way Cassidy played his goaltenders this year was pretty much nothing short of genius. He knows that the capacity which Rask plays in, he runs out of gas. And this year, I think the way it's been going, if Rask stays healthy and keeps playing the way he's playing, this could be the year of the Tuca.
It almost has to be for Bruins fans to finally get off his back.
He kind of has to win a cup, and it may be unfair, but that's sort of the expectation, isn't it?
No, it is unfair, but it is reality in this town.
Yeah.
If he doesn't lead the team to a cup, he is going to be considered a failure by many hockey fans in this town. And by the way, there's a huge portion of hockey fans in this town who say you'll never win a cup.
Right, so he can shove that right up their tailpipes.
Yeah, maybe that seems.
He
a little,
could.
That
seems he gra- should. It he deserves graphic. It. They've been ripping this guy.
Okay. Fred's in New Hampshire. Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Morning, guys. I'm doing great. Hey, Keith, don't start talking about Tampa. Okay, we got to go through Toronto.
Why not?
You talk about because
we're not playing on the team. Fred.
I know, Fred. We can look ahead. Trust me.
No, you don't look ahead.
Well, I'm going to
Stanley Cup playoffs. You play it one series at a time.
Oh, is that right?
Hold on, I'm going to write that down.
You know, it's a new season, and there's nothing greater, Fred. There's nothing greater than the Stanley Cup playoffs. And all the sports, there's nothing like it.
Anyway.
The speed of the game.
They had more shots in the first period than the Islanders had the whole game. Two shots in the first period?
Yep.
That was just a dominating game, and I loved it. When are the players going to realize, I mean, Martin last night, you don't mess with the bee. You don't mess with Chara. What?
Yeah, but you know
but
I actually respect him.
You got to do something for the team.
He knew that chances were good. It was not going to end the way he'd like.
I think even a loss to Chara says something to your team. Like, I'm willing to go fight Chara. Now, you don't want to get your brains bashed in, but...
Although he's sitting there for 5 minutes after he's fought with Chara, watching his team continue to get their rear ends handed to him out of the ice.
Oh, it had no effect.
And he's got to be thinking to himself, okay, I did that for what?
Yeah, oh yeah. But, I mean, I think that the rest of the team should rally behind that. They didn't. It didn't seem to matter.
He and Chara had kind of collided, had words in the first period down in the corner. And it was obvious at that point Matt Martin was basically doing what, you know, respectable tough guys do in the NHL and said, hey, you know, I would you consider going here? And Chara, no, you know what, not now. And then at the beginning of the second period, there was no instigator. He asked, Chara responded, and away they went. Now, if you want to call that orchestrated, you can if you want, because Matt Martin was clearly fighting Chara just to try to wake his team up. It did not work.
No, it didn't work. Worth a shot, I guess.
Not at all.
I guess.
Oh, hold on.
Dale, who could this be?
It's your birthday today.
Bobby. Oh, I already
Bobby.
this one.
It's your birthday today, Bobby.
71 years young today.
Bobby Bonilla? That old?
That's how much million he's still collecting.
He's still getting?
He's still getting for the rest of his
Happy
life.
Happy birthday.
Robert Gordon Orr turned 71 years old today.
How about that?
Looks like he's 51.
He really doesn't age, that guy.
No, he does not seem to age at all. But the greatest defenseman in the history of the NHL. I'll listen to an argument about him being the greatest player in the NHL.
Sure.
But Bobby Orr turned 71 today, so happy
that?
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
I don't picture telling Bobby Orr to grab his
Open his gifts. Open your
bag.
Gifts, Bobby. Come
grab
on.
Grab your goodie
Blow out
bag.
The candles. Let's go.
617.
Bobby. 779-7937.
Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio W.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
The Bruins 5-0. Tuukka Rask's fourth shutout of the season.
Jack Edwards with the call at the end of the game last night, and with how things ended up, I will I'll give you this number. Boston Sports Info tweeted this out last night. I used it on the post game show and gave them credit for it. When Jake DeBrusque scores a goal in the regular season for the Bruins.
Both year, this year and last year?
Last year and this year. The Bruins are 31-3.
Jeepers.
A winning percentage of .918. In the postseason, when he scores a goal, they're 4-1. So for his Bruins career, when Jake DeBrusque scores a goal, they're 35-4.
Wow. And that goes to show, I mean, because he is kind of responsible for a lot of that secondary scoring. You get so many goals from Pastrnak and Marchand and Bergeron. That top line scores so many goals. And so that's consistent. Like you're going to get that. So where else can you turn to for scoring? And when Pastrnak was out, and actually really all season long, one of the other guys has been Jake DeBrusque. So those numbers really put it in perspective. I can't say I'm that surprised that, I mean, maybe that it's that good, but when he gets going, that gives the Bruins another layer that, I know he was on the team last year, but it wasn't as consistent as it's been this season.
Although it was pretty good last year, too, but this year it's been unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, another level.
Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, what it is?
What's up, Mike?
You know, if you love my take so much, you guys just have me come in studio.
No, I'm good.
But great minds think alike.
No, I'm good.
So,
what do you mean? What's your take?
So I'm thinking on the Bruins, right? You shouldn't mess with the first line. I obviously, you can't argue the results from last night, but Dan Heinen has been doing great on the first line. And if you could take a third liner and have him not be a negative on your first line, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't have Pastrnak down on the second line and put Quill down on the third line. And then once Johansson comes back, you got Quill, Johansson, and whoever on the third line. That way you can kind of spread the points around and be effective with three solid lines coming out.
That's what I would do.
Well, Coyle is going to be on the third line when Johansson gets healthy.
Right.
I understand your argument, Mike. I would keep Pastrnak with Bergeron and Marchand.
But it's a
and
great
I would
line.
Put Johansson with Krejci and DeBrusque. You've got two really good lines. At that point, your third line would be some combination with Danton Heinen, Charlie Coyle, and I'll say David Backes for lack of a better term now. And then your fourth line has been good all season long.
Yeah, keep those guys together. Because one of the things that gets lost a little bit in last year when they got smashed by Tampa Bay was everybody says, oh, well, the Lightning shut down the top line and then nobody else could score. Well, part of it is, well, the top line, as good as they are, they can't get completely shut down. Like, they have to do a little bit better. And maybe this year they will. And you're right, Krejci, the season that he is having, the season that DeBrusque is having, that automatically bumps you up a little bit. But to Mike's point, Danton Heinen, to me, is pretty good with those guys. Not like a significant drop-off for those guys. You put them in other places, and you're not getting the same kind of results. So I think you're almost you have nine good forwards or whatever, or you really have like seven. But then when you move them around, it almost appears as though you have nine.
617-779-7937. Nate's up in Maine. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Dale. What's going on, bud?
How are you?
Hey, I got a couple of points to make about the Bruins here. My first point was Pastrnak. I don't know. Has he learned anything since he's been sitting out these, 15, 16 games? I mean, this between the legs, showboaty, that's not this Bruins team.
He's been great with that stuff.
Look, this team is pretty skilled.
Yeah, he's been great with it, but he's given up. All we need is a simple pass. Corrali said it best when he said, when the Bruins score goals, all five members have touched the puck.
I think you're being a little critical of a guy who was making his first appearance in 17 games. By his own admission, looked a little rusty last night. But when he's not rusty, he and Bergeron and Marchand are magical together.
Well, I hear your point. To your point, yeah, it was his first game back in a while. So why even
5 weeks?
Exactly. So I see him last night, three defenders on him, and he's run between his legs, and he's got two guys. You can just pass it, shuffle it over, pass it. Let him pass it around. We've won more games with him out.
Here we go. Are they better without him?
Is this where you're actually going, Nate?
No, that's not where we're going.
Okay, all right, thank you.
We've won more games with him out.
Thank you.
The 19 points we went on was basically without him, right?
I think that they're
a lot of the winning streak was
dramatically
right.
better
true.
With him than without
are.
Him.
Oh, of course.
You know, it's like when Kyrie Irving isn't playing, the Celtics right. aren't as good with him. By the way, Kyrie may have some bad news for you here.
Why? What's his problem now? Is he got another problem?
No, it's not a huge problem, but Jay King,
yes.
Celtics reporter for The Athletic, quotes Kyrie Irving as saying, quote, "I'm definitely taking some games off before the playoffs. It just makes no sense to put emphasis on these regular season games when you know you're gearing up for some battles coming in the playoffs."
Yeah.
So that whole seeding thing and holding on to home court. That
doesn't matter.
Apparently doesn't matter
to Kyrie. I think it might. When you're playing Game 7 in Indiana and now you're getting bounced in the first round, I think you may be saying, oh, maybe we should have played a little bit harder in the regular season.
I mean, if he had added on to his quote there, you know, once the playoff seedings are locked
in. But see, that's the problem, is that kind of mentality I'm okay with if you're the San Antonio Spurs, or even, as much as I can't stand them, LeBron's Heat or LeBron's Cavs teams, where they knew they could flip a switch. And there's been a lot of that flip a switch talk. Remember a few weeks ago, like Marcus Morris and Kyrie, and wait till we get to the playoffs, But if you kind of limp in, and if you have, you know, a bunch of your starters out or a bunch of your key guys out for rest, or in this case, you know, Gordon Hayward's missing games because he's got a concussion, now all of a sudden you're the fifth seed and you're playing the Pacers on the road. Last year, and I understand Kyrie wasn't there, but last year it was night and day, home and road. If they didn't have home court advantage last year, they might have lost in the first round. And so now you're saying, well, yeah, we'll deal with that. So, I don't know. I don't think that's a great message. I think Brad could pick and choose. You know, you have some opponents where go ahead and sit Kyrie. But the way he talks about it, it's just,
well,
doesn't he make it
sound like it's his call?
Yes.
I'm definitely taking some games off before the playoffs. I mean, and again,
of course it's
comparing the sports here. Bruce Cassidy has to go to Zdeno Chara and say, listen, we're going to get you ready for the playoffs. We're going to sit you out this game or that game. It's not like Chara goes to him and says, just so you know, Bruce, I'm taking a couple games off here.
No.
The whole mentality.
He doesn't want to take the games off.
No. Well, he doesn't. And that's certainly part
of it. That's the other
part. But the way Irving, I know he was half joking about, you know, having the long conversation with Brad on the way out to the West Coast.
I don't know how much jokes there were in
it
there.
It didn't seem, the more he talks, the less joking there seems to be, doesn't it?
And I think they have, 10 games left to go, and obviously tonight against Philadelphia is a really important game. They have two more games with Indiana. So that alone could determine who's at home and who's not. But, for example, they have a game against Cleveland next week. If you want to sit Kyrie Irving against Cleveland, fine. That's a team. Brad Wanamaker should go out there and beat the Cavs. Like, that's how bad they are. Maybe even the Orlando game. Like, you have a couple of games that maybe you can pick and choose when they play. Or, you know, if you want to sit them out in a back-to-back, I guess, fine. Like, because I trust me, I get the point on wanting these guys fresh and as healthy as
Absolutely.
Possible come playoff time. I get it. But
I'd like to hear Brad say that.
Yeah, you would.
I'd like to hear Brad say, hey, listen, you know, we got to make sure that everybody's fresh when we get to the playoffs. So I'm going to have to tell Kyrie he's got to sit out a game or two here or
nope,
there.
Kyrie decides when he sits. That's
now, is that
part
is that
of the
a
charm.
Kyrie thing or is that an NBA thing?
That's probably a superstar thing. And I honestly, I think it also has a lot to do with the coach-player relationship.
I did some coaching on the plane.
Like, I think Steve Kerr can probably talk with Durant and Curry and Thompson and sort of come up with a plan together. That's from the outside, that's how I view it. Kyrie and Stevens, my guess is Kyrie goes in there and says, I'm not going to play in these games. And Brad says, yeah. Okay, sure.
Brad, here's my schedule for the rest right. of the regular season.
And based on how Brad and Danny Ainge treated Kyrie Irving during the All-Star break when he couldn't play and then he could play in the All-Star game, they're like, oh, that's great. Like, he should play.
23 minutes.
They'll just kiss his ass and say, do it. Okay, great. Well, what games are you off? Just so we know. I mean, you don't have to tell me now, but just if you don't mind, give us a heads up so we have an idea
just
of when you're going to be in
there.
Just
tell your replacement he's got to go.
Just so we can talk to Rozier and let him know he's starting that day. But
no one wants to say it, but I will.
Yeah, he will. And so I don't know how many games, because it made it sound like a bunch of games, didn't it? The quote that you read made it sound like it wasn't one or two.
His quote was, I'm definitely taking some games off before the playoffs.
Some games.
It just makes no sense to put emphasis on these regular season games when you know you're gearing up for some battles coming in the playoffs. Completely ignoring what a difference it would make to mm-hmm. him and his team if they were the third or the fourth seed as opposed yeah. to the fifth seed.
But this also isn't a team that has ever played together in the playoffs. So if you're if you're the Golden State Warriors, you might even be able to say, as tough as playing in Denver might be, is it the end of the world if Golden State doesn't have home court? No, they're
not.
Probably fine. Like they're right. they're that good. This Celtics team could use whatever advantage possible.
And it starts with me.
And the way things are going, obviously the second round, no matter what, is going to be on the road. But the first round, it is within reach.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something if you got out of the first round because you had home court?
It could happen. We saw it last year. I could see it happening this year, too. And by saying I'm definitely taking some games off, that sounds like three, doesn't it? Like, that sounds like more than one or two, certainly. And we'll see. Again, Philly, so what are they, is it 10 games left or 10 or 11 games left? And they have two against Indiana, one against Philly. I mean, right there,
I'd like to think he's not taking those off.
No, I would hope not. No, and by all accounts, he's playing tonight, and he should play tonight. Then they have a few days off. Then they have a back-to-back Saturday and Sunday. So by Kyrie's logic, maybe he doesn't play one of those.
Back-to-back, he's going to sit out the one of the two, and I understand that.
But, I mean, you definitely, I would think you'd want to prioritize what's going on right now in the regular season if you're this team.
Yeah, they've got 11 games remaining in the regular season.
Right. And I mean, and Kyrie's playing really well. And for the most part, Kyrie always plays well. It's just the issues that you have with him is some of the stuff that he says and how he's getting along. I still go back to that Terry Rozier that comment that he made. Hey, when Kyrie's happy, everything's great. And when he's not, it sucks. You're like, oh, boy. Like, that is not an even-keeled leader by any means.
And maybe it's innocent. You know, and I'm not taking him off the hook here because I read the quote and it sounds horrible.
Maybe the question was a little leading. I don't know.
Maybe Brad went to him and said, hey, listen, you're going right. to take some games off. And he just didn't say, hey, Brad tells me I'm going to take some games off.
Or even like I talked with Brad and I'm going to do that. Like none of that.
He just said, I'm definitely taking some games off before the playoffs. Now, that would have changed completely. That whole quote is different if he says, Brad says I'm definitely taking some games off before the playoffs.
Or was the question, hey, are you taking any games off? Like, I don't know, but you would think that these games would still be important. And nobody's saying you go out there and you play 40 minutes a night. Nobody is suggesting that, but it just seems like, you know, this team seems to have issues nonstop.
I know, and look, I understand, you know, the higher seed sometimes beats the lower seed, all that stuff. But in the NBA, doesn't it just sort of seem like, you know, one beats the eight?
It's
two
pretty
beats
chalky.
The seven.
Yeah, I think it's like a handful of times an eight over a one. And one of those times was Derrick Rose got hurt, so the Sixers were able to beat him. But it's pretty chalk. I mean, the 4-5, that's always a toss-up. But the 1-2-3 seed almost always move on to the next round. That's just how it goes. Now, and there have been years where LeBron hasn't had home court throughout, but he's still kind of the favorite. Right, like, you know, even though, like, he's a guy that home court I don't think matters as much, but in those early rounds, those top teams almost always advance.
you would like to think that it would matter to him. Yeah, and if the playoffs started today, they'd play Indiana, as you said. But Indiana would have home court.
Yeah, pretty significant. I kept waiting for Indiana to fall off because it's been a long time now since Victor Oladipo has been out. He's their all-star. They don't have stars, really, on that team. So I kept waiting for, oh, well, they'll fall apart. And then the Celtics will certainly be in the top four, maybe even number three. But I know Indiana's lost three in a row now. But for the most part, they have sort of stayed right there, and all these other guys have stepped up, and they've been a pretty tough team.
617-779-7937. Jake's on the cell phone. Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Jake?
What's going on?
I just feel that it's time Marcus Morris goes back to a role player coming off the bench. I think he's come back to earth over the last couple of weeks or so. I know early on in the season he had started off strong and was hitting all these shots, but now he's making just dumb plays, coming, throwing the ball out of bounds on an inbound and passing the ball in bounds, or shooting a three with 19 seconds left on the shot clock. I think it's time Jalen gets back in the starting lineup. I don't know what you guys
100% think. Agree, Jake. And Marcus Morris, it was the right move to put him into the starting lineup early in the season, but now it is even overdue to take him out. Jalen Brown, not this last game withstanding, he has played really well.
Yeah.
And so they should make that switch, and not just to start the game, but any kind of crunch minutes now, too. I don't want Marcus Morris out there. Like, he has completely gone the other way. There are some good stats.
I totally agree. I mean, he's tossing the ball out of bounds on an inbound pass with 2 seconds left on the
court. Oh, terrible. That was a terrible timeout by Stephens, but it was even worse pass by Marcus Morris.
And we're going over the Marcus Morris three-point shooting percentage.
Well, his shot selection is garbage.
And oh, by the way, his success rate is, too.
Oh, yeah, right now, the last few months, it's like 3 months. It's like a long, it's not just, oh, he's had a bad week. It's been a rough patch here for Marcus Morris. I still think he can be useful for you, and he can be a guy off the bench. You know, it gives you a little bit of energy, a little scoring, some toughness. But when he's out there in the starting lineup, I feel like he's taking shots away from Irving, Jason Tatum. You know, even Horford at times is a better option than Marcus Morris can be.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We thought things were really bad in Pittsburgh with the Steelers.
Oh, boy.
It may be worse than we thought. Le'Veon Bell weighs in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
Back to
Whoop. What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keith Show
on WEEI.
Like Pittsburgh is they're a great organization. I say they got a great owner, head coach. They kind of treat you like, all right, if you're like that. Like, they don't treat you like a human. What I mean by that is, like, I'm an NFL athlete, but it's still, I'm a human being. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I still play video games. I still make music. It's like, they don't want to, like, allow you to be yourself for real. It's like, they want you to be, if you're a Steeler, like, you're literally supposed to be playing football 24-7. You're not supposed to be playing video games and, like, making music, playing basketball. You're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be working out. It's like, it's not realistic. A lot of things, like, it's not realistic. So if I do say something, if I'm doing something on social media or whatever, that's different than football. It's like not accepted.
So Le'Veon Bell spoke to Jenny Vrentas, SI.com, about the end of his relationship with the Pittsburgh Steelers. First of all, he wants to play video games, make music, play basketball.
Yeah.
And they just want him to work out.
Can I say something here?
Okay.
I am sick and tired of video games being a scapegoat. Like, please, they got the Phillies, the Blue Jays, even the Red Sox for a time. Now Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. Stop letting video games get between you and your job.
If truth is truth, you got to speak it.
So what's wrong with that? So people watch TV, right? What's the difference? You sit and watch TV for an hour, you sit and play video games for an hour. What's the difference? What's the problem? Video games are a little bit more competitive. Hand-eye is very important. He's working on his hand-eye. You ever heard that one?
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yes, that's what he's doing. Everybody's blaming video games. All Le'Veon Bell wanted to do was play video games. He also, the beginning of that cut kind of contradicts himself right out of the chute. He's like, the Steelers are a great organization, but they don't treat anybody like people.
Like Pittsburgh is a, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're a great organization.
Great organization. Great head coach, great owner, but they don't treat you like a person. That,
they don't treat
me,
like a human. What I mean by that is like, I'm an NFL athlete, but it's still, I'm a human being, you know?
They don't treat you like a human. Does that sound like a good organization to you, Dale?
Not usually, no.
Be like, oh, I love it here. They don't treat me like a human, but I love it. It's the best. So I don't know what he meant by that. Or maybe he didn't mean the first part, and then as he was explaining
he got
he's
deeper
like,
into it.
He's like, no, you know what? On second thought,
this word salad isn't coming out the way
no,
I expected.
No, it's not. I'm not chopping it up the way I wanted to.
So wait, it gets worse. So, okay. So yeah, that's only So he was talking about, and look, I've killed him, you've killed him, a lot of people have killed him about, you know, skipping out on the entire season.
Losing, I didn't kill him for that.
Losing $14.5 million that you're never going to get back
again.
Yeah,
the money wasn't there. I always side with the players on these things, but it didn't prove to be the right move at all.
He has lost. So this wasn't actually his plan, though, Keith.
Oh, it wasn't?
He had a better plan.
Oh, I'd love to hear this plan.
Let's just say the actual fulfilling of the plan didn't exactly work out.
Originally, I was just not going to come week one. That was my original goal, original plan in my head, but it just like happened. Like certain things leading up to week one, certain things is like, why would you like, why that happened? Like, why would you say that? You know, because it's like, you know what I'm trying to do.
So your initial plan was to report after week one, mm-hmm. and sitting out 1 week would, what, sort of reduce the workload or show the team that they missed you or?
At first I was literally just thinking like, I wouldn't play camp because camp and OTAs, I haven't went to camp and OTAs, so I'm just like preserving my body. I'm like, I'm not playing. But I'm just thinking like, you know, when week one come, I'm gonna come, but things kind of laid up the week one. So I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna play week one. Things after even week one, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like certain buildup, so it's not making me feel comfortable. Like over the course of the time, that's what I'm getting at. It's like I can't even remember like little details or little things that was happening, but just leading up to week one or when they was in camp and I wasn't and I was training, just leading up to that, it's kind of like I'm cool. And then week two, come on, I'm cool. And then it got to a point where it's like, regardless what they say, I'm gonna come back after the bye week. I'm gonna bite the bullet. I'm gonna come back after the bye week. And I got to that point. And then, you know, new information that came out that I felt like that was real important to me. I heard that I didn't even have to play to get credited. I mean, not a credited season, but I didn't even have to play, and I wouldn't have to get, they would have to use another franchise tag on me.
Can we stop?
Oh, my God. So that's what I got. Doesn't he drive you nuts? What is he saying? He sounds like Dennis Rodman. He's the way he talks, sounds exactly like Dennis Rodman. That is hard to hear.
Can you imagine now, like, you're the Steelers and this guy's calling you saying,
I don't even know what he's talking about.
One. Well, I don't know. Maybe not week one. And then I'll come back after. Nah,
who's
maybe not
who's
week
advising
two.
Him? Who does he have an age guy? They get treated like trash in the NFL and they rarely get exactly what they deserve. Le'Veon Bell's a great player, but that was so frustrating. He didn't have a plan. I was going to sit out week one, but then there's all these details, which I don't remember. Oh, if something cost me $14 million,
I would remember
what was going on. He has no idea. And he go, I don't know the details. I'll tell you the details. Week one, James Conner, 135 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 57 yards receiving. Week one. Now, I know James Conner had a few bad games along the way, but he was a Pro Bowler. So the guy replacing you made the Pro Bowl. Now, they tied the Browns week one, so that should be advantage Le'Veon Bell. But the running back, James Conner, who they got in the middle of the draft, was fantastic. So he goes into this plan. I'm gonna skip week one, then I'm going to come back. Then that snowballs into week two, three, four.
Cool. Then week two, come on, I'm cool.
No, he's not cool. And then I want to come back after the bye week. Then all of a sudden, he learns of a rule. He's like, wait a minute.
Nobody bothered to tell me this?
Wouldn't that have been part of your plan at the beginning? Because how do you not map it out? Like, all right, worst case scenario, they don't offer you a better contract. What are you going to do? If they don't trade you, what are you going to do? You're going to decide that on the fly because you finally read the rule book? He should. You mentioned this the other day when he signed that he should fire his agent.
Yes.
Not just for the Jets thing, but for not having a plan. Again, if you hold out, sometimes it really works. Khalil Mack held out. Aaron Donald held out. Those are two of the highest paid defensive players in the NFL. They held out. Even Antonio Brown had a little tantrum at the end of the season. I know it wasn't a holdout, but he spazzes out at the end of the year. He gets traded, and guess what? Gets more money and more guaranteed money. Le'Veon Bell, I don't know what he was anticipating. I don't know what he thought was going to happen, but the hardest part to hear is he didn't even know. He's like, oh, yeah, by the way, then we found out, oh, I don't even have to report, and it's still credited for a year. Yeah, but you get $0.
You get $14.5 million minus dollars.
Oh, my God. It just...
I mean, can you imagine, let's say you are an agent, and you do have a plan.
Yeah.
And you're trying to describe to Le'Veon what the pros are over here.
Right.
And the cons are on this side of the yellow legal pad.
The cons would be $0.
The cons are $14.5 million that you light a match to.
Yeah.
That you're never going to see again.
Like, I think the Joker did that in The Dark Knight. There was a scene with all the piles of money. He just lit it on fire. He doesn't care about money. Maybe Le'Veon Bell's like the Joker. Doesn't care about the money.
He didn't seem to be so much like the Joker when I was listening to him there.
No, dumber. the Joker actually is somewhat intelligent. He's a criminal mastermind is what he is. Le'Veon Bell is never going to be accused of that. That is frustrating to hear, isn't it?
Can you imagine if you're the Steelers listening
you're
to
like,
that?
Oh, forget it.
Like, I want to play basketball. I want to play video games. I want to make music. They want me to work out.
Le'Veon Bell does. He has a single out, doesn't he? I think he had a rap song that came out.
Full record. Full album.
Oh, I'm sorry. Full record. Thank you, John. He has a full record. He did have time on his hands.
What else was he doing?
So he probably played a ton of video games and obviously put together a whole record. Yeah, probably really good at Fortnite now. Or Apex is the new one. That's what people are playing now. That's what
I
Apex.
Every time we mention athletes and video games on the text machine, I see Apex.
Apex is the new deal. I was playing a little last night. No big deal. Yeah, I'm not very good, but I like to play. I enjoy myself.
I think some self-knowledge is a good thing.
Yeah, you can't just think that you're the best, because some of these guys, like Le'Veon Bell, have nothing else to do, so they can just sit home and play literally all day long, make his new record. But man, just no plan. Like you gotta have a plan. Like when
there
Logan Mankins,
it was like I was gonna play after week one, and then I said, what the heck?
Like when Logan Mankins held out. I think there was a plan involved, and it ended up working out. Next thing you know, he's the highest paid guard and all this other stuff. Like it kind of worked out. So just straight up holding out is not necessarily a bad move, but Le'Veon Bell, it was a lot of will they, won't they? Is he going to return? What's going on? And then once you see the contract that he got, I also think that position is tough to do it at. If you're Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack, who can do what you can do? Not too many guys, at least to that level. And as good as Le'Veon Bell is, James Conner just made the freaking Pro Bowl as, a fifth-round pick or whatever he was? And a fraction of the money?
And Le'Veon Bell is how old now?
Yeah, he's, 26, 27?
Lost a full year.
Yeah.
He's
fresh.
Well, but the general rule of thumb is you hit 30 and things start to fall quickly as a running back in the National Football League.
Yeah.
So the Jets have paid him all this money.
Yeah, he just turned 27 last month. So he's got 3 years left? 3 or 4? This is Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
Let's hear it. Is this edited?
We'll find out together. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
we're fine. We're
find
fine.
Out together. We're going to get close. What's he doing? Just naming things?
Adjectives.
Okay.
Now.
Oh, he's talking about guns.
It's called Target.
That's a good guess.
Makes sense.
Good guess by you. Sort of sings like Dennis Rodman, too, doesn't
he? Yeah, I don't really love that.
Great lyric from that is, my bank account looked like telephone digits.
No, it doesn't.
Not anymore.
No, it doesn't. It could have. No, it doesn't. It's a lie. I mean, he's going to make a lot of money now. He still is. But you had $14.5 million.
And 10 digits is billion, by the way.
I'm gonna guess he doesn't have that.
I don't think he's a billionaire either. That's a fair point as well. Yeah, that is. Well, you're gonna
this
see him now.
Sound like a billionaire.
Little details or little things that was happening, but just leading up to week one or when they was in camp and I wasn't and I was training, just leading up to that, it's kind of like I'm cool.
Now, is it possible?
Because cool, right.
As I remember, early in the regular season, he was getting some criticism from teammates.
Yeah, he was.
So
they started
maybe,
to turn on him.
Maybe what he's hinting at here
maybe.
Is they were saying mean things about me.
Well,
so I
remember
said, you know what? I'm cool.
He doesn't remember the details, Dan.
Well, I know.
He doesn't
I was trying to help him out,
I know you were.
Jog his memory a little bit.
No, it's not working.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.